podcast you're about to hear is the Competitive Intel Podcast. This podcast focuses on market intelligence and competitive intelligence as a subject area in a business context. We're happy to be part of Global Product Management Talk. And if you'd like to hear more about our podcast, you can check it out on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or you can go to our site, CascadeInsights.com. Welcome to another episode of the Competitive Intelligence Podcast. In this episode, we have a special guest, David Nixon, who's a Senior Director of Competitive Intelligence from Oracle Corporation. And before we get into that, just a couple quick programming notes. If you want to look at archived podcasts from our series, you can either take a look at them on iTunes or Stitcher Radio or on our site on the resources page, cascadeinsights.com/resources. And if you have any particular topics that you'd like to hear on the podcast, feel free to send me an email at Sean, S-E-A-N, at cascadeinsights.com. And with that, we'll dive in here to a little bit of an introduction of you, David. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your role at Oracle at a high level, and then we'll kind of dive into our main question with you.
Sure. So I'm at Oracle working in our competitive intelligence organization, which is part of our marketing group. And really my job is centered around supporting our sales organization and giving them an understanding of the competitive landscape and ideas on how to position our products in competitive sales cycles, and primarily in the applications area, but really cutting up and down the entire stack.
Okay, cool. And how long have you been with Oracle?
I've been at Oracle a little over 11 years.
Okay, wow, cool. So the first question we have, which is the one I think, you know, in the given we only spend about 10 minutes here, we'll probably be where we spend the bulk of our time, is just, you know, one of the things we talked about in the lead up to setting up the interview here was, how do you handle competitive intelligence efforts when you're dealing with a company that, from the perspective of that company's customers, they really buy solutions, they buy kind of ecosystems of products, they don't always really buy a point solution anymore, given the size of customers that a company like Oracle is typically dealing with? And how does CI as a discipline need to evolve in response to that? And you mentioned you had some thoughts, and that's something that you've been kind of been looking at a lot lately.
Yeah, it really is a central theme for me today. And candidly, I think it kind of cuts on a couple of different levels. So historically, we've certainly taken, I think, a more product-centric view of the world in terms of how does this product stack up against that, and trying to do some compare and contrast when looking at it from the product level. But as companies like Oracle and our competitors evolve, the questions really change. And whether a prospect is looking at an individual product or not, there's really a much broader value. When I talk internally, I try to use this analogy, and I talk about how a customer or an individual might be in the market for a car, and they might be looking at a Volvo versus a Porsche. And most of us would agree that if you think about those two vehicles, you certainly could describe them as automobiles or transportation or however. But when you think about the overall value proposition or the promise that those brands are bringing to the table, they're quite different. And you would certainly think of a Volvo and a Porsche as very different offerings, likely to appeal to different customers, but certainly presented in different ways. And in many ways, in the software space, it's no different than that. If I was to try to find a single sentence to describe the different vendors that are out there, those sentences could be dramatically different from one vendor to the next. And so from my perspective, the challenge is sort of multi-pronged. I certainly need to understand the individual products that are being positioned, but in a broader sense, I need to try and put my head into that sentence and say, what do I think of that single sentence that would describe the different competitor, and how might the prospect be viewing that competitor in terms of the promise that they think they're going to acquire from that brand. And it's my belief it's that promise, that single sentence, that is really the key of what are we really competing against, even more so than the individual feature function, but the overall promise that somebody is trying to invest in. You have to remember they're talking about an investment that might be 10 or 15 years before they re-up in there. So it's got to be much deeper than feature function. And it takes really a shared approach to tackle that. And that's what we try to do here.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you bring it up, too, is that, you know, because I think one of the things that we see that's somewhat universal across technology companies is whether it's even market research work sometimes, it seems to be very bits and bytes, feature functionality. Some of that, I think, just comes from the culture of the companies themselves. You know, I mean, that's the nature of a lot of people in technology companies had some degree of a technology background. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in the company. And that always creates this kind of, let me compare my magic to your magic. You know what I mean? Let me show essentially how cool my product is to yours. And like you said, at the end of the day, they don't buy on that. And a lot of times, even in especially in like a mission critical context, they know no one's going to meet all of their features. They're buying on all these other issues, from support and, you know, kind of the brand promise and all of these things. And that those are much more challenging things to research and justify than saying, you know, our product runs faster than the other guy.
That's absolutely right. In a couple things that resonate there. One, as you say, as a technology company, and you know, I'm what I like to refer to as a recovering engineer and the first part of my career in engineering. And you know, the feature function stuff is certainly interesting. It's where we spend a lot of energy in terms of building out our products. And there is a place for that because there is someone sitting at the table from the prospect's perspective that is looking at that and wants to make sure it addresses their needs from that perspective. But this broader sort of solution view, it's more subtle. It's a bit more challenging. And in some cases, it's really about what's the story that the competition is sharing with the prospect, and is that story resonating, and if so, in what ways? And so, you know, I read some research not that long ago that talked about the value of putting a story around your product. And this particular research identified that the story can have a tremendous impact, 2,000 to 3,000% difference in terms of the value of the product they were looking at. In this case, these were commodity products that someone bought from a hardware store, and they added a story around them, put them on eBay, and demonstrated that people were going to pay a tremendous premium based on the story, the narrative that was around that. And if I take a step back and think about that, and I say, you know, you have a product out there that has features functions, then I have another one out there that has a story that resonates with the buyer, that talks in a broader, a deeper way, a deeper connection. You can see the power of that. So tremendously important to kind of put that hat on and try to put yourself in the position of the prospect, understand the story that is being told, and understand that there are still ways, even though that's a story, that there's ways to meet that story with your own story and narrative, or in some ways to unravel that in cases where somebody has put together a very beautiful narrative that perhaps the product isn't truly able to support. And that's where some of the feature function can come in, because at some point, narrative is great, but you still need the capability to support that narrative. And that's one of the ways we try to tackle.
Yeah, that's nicely put. You know, combining the two that way. That's well put. Scott, I want to give you the last question here. Unfortunately, it might be a little bit of a quick one just because we're close to the end here. But go ahead, Scott. Chime in.
So I think one of the things that's interesting, you know, like you talked about, the solution of the suite versus individual products, I guess. And I think one of the things that companies have to think about is when you're sort of tuning a suite, you know, you want to kind of, you want it to be a little asymmetric versus the competition, right? So in other words, if you have something really valuable that they don't have, you want to sort of tune the suite to where more is charged for that, whereas if you have something that overlaps with them, maybe you charge less for it. Or there's different strategies around that. I guess, can you talk a little bit about, when you're thinking about a solution, generally, two competitors don't have exactly the same overlapping offerings, and how that that asymmetry kind of impacts the analysis.
Yeah, and you know, that's the art of the sale right there. And I think a large part of that, to your point, you know, there's no two things that are exactly the same. And from a sales perspective, you know, our goal is to highlight those differences in a positive way. In the end, the key is how can I tie those differences to true value? And really that is, I guess in simplest terms, what's the use case that shows where that feature capability is truly powerful or differentiated? And, you know, from a technologist perspective, we talk about use cases in a broader sense that really is the narrative or the, again, that single sentence, if you will, that we try to wrap around our product and really resonate with that business value. So from my perspective, that, you know, the real key is to tie that difference to a real use case or narrative that resonates ultimately, you know, with the business of the customer. Increasingly, we're seeing where the CIO and technologist are being brought into those conversations. It's much more about how does this technology support our overall business strategy than a standalone technology strategy. So again, how do I have that narrative, that use case, that dialogue that talks about how this feature is essential to support the overall business narrative? And that's where you can, you know, when you have value-based pricing, that's where you can really take advantage of that and get a premium. And you see that from both the place. So it's not always the less expensive thing that's chosen. It's the one that has the greatest business value, and that's really where it's at.
Well, that's a good summary, David. And with that, you know, I think we're right up against the end here. So I want to thank you for being on the podcast, and to the folks that are listening, again, if you have any requests to the podcast or you'd even like to be interviewed on the podcast, feel free to always reach out to us, Sean at Cascade Insights or Scott, S-C-O-T-T, at CascadeInsights.com. And with that, we'll let folks get back to work, and thanks for listening.
This is Cindy Faye Solomon. You are listening to the Global Product Management Talk, a top 10 business podcast on the Blog Talk Radio Network at blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK. Find us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Twitter, and on the web at PRODMGMTTALK.